oneness is such a profound thing. Come, Sarah, be comfortable. That whenever I want to contemplate about oneness, I feel it's necessary to look at it at three different levels: intellectual, emotional, and spiritual. Spiritual means experiential. What is this thing called oneness? How does it feel? Right? And we just did a virtual tour of the meditations that we have to do to actually experience what is oneness. But it's also important to understand it intellectually and emotionally. So, and luckily, in today's day and age, it's easy to comprehend what is oneness because of the advancement of sciences. Everybody knows that we all have the same genome, right? Our genetic code is 99.99% dicto, same. It's a scientific fact. So you're actually listening to your twin brother. You're sitting next to your identical twin. Literally, an established fact of science.
It's DNA only material.
Is DNA?
Or the genome, is it only material?
Material.
Is it only material?
It's basically information, and actually I'm glad you brought that up. So DNA molecule or whatever those amino acids, nucleic acids are, they are basically carrying the information, right? So they are material in the sense that they are carrier of information. Right? I mean, the amino acids, they are made up of carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen. Those are chemical elements. They are material things. Right? But they are carrying some information, And apparently, there is like 3 billion layers of information. The CT, DT, whatever that DNA sequencing they do. About 3 billion layers of information is coded onto DNA. Interestingly enough, although we are 99.99% identical, we are still unique. It's a very, very interesting thing. I mean, Paul is Paul. There is no way his DNA sequence will match with any other individual on Earth. The DNA sequencing, the genetic code is same, but the DNA sequencing is unique. It's distinct for each individual. That's why we use it in crime investigations, right? The DNA fingerprint.
Is that crime investigations?
So, and apparently, out of 3 billion layers of genetic information, the only variation occurs in like 2 million layers of information. So if you were to like take a ratio, and actually I did that calculation, and correct me if I'm wrong, it comes out to a variation of 0.06%. That's all, you know. But hey, that makes us unique, right? Just that little variation is making us a unique individual, and at the same time, one, same. You know? So there's no need to be afraid. You're not losing your identity. But at the same time, intellectually at least, you know that we are all one. And we have talked about this before too. If I were to look at my body under a microscope, right? Just looking through the skin, that's it. That's all it takes to remove the delusion of separateness. You know? We all are made up of bones and muscles and blood and water, and, right? Everybody is made up of the same stuff. If you were to look through all that, you will see that we are basically made of water, carbohydrates, lipids, and proteins, right? Everything, this whole mass here is really made up of those things. And if we were to look through those, you will realize that essentially all those molecules are made of carbon, hydrogen, nitrogen, and oxygen. And then you have potassium and magnesium, and you have many other elements, but predominantly, this is just a bundle of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen, literally. Same, everybody. If I were to put those microscopic lenses on my eyes, what will I see? I will see bundles of carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, and nitrogen. That's all I'll see. I will not see Skip and his Caucasian appearance, or me, or you, male, female, nothing, just a bundle of elements. You know? Anybody would argue with that?
No, but then why do we feel so separate?
Delusion. Because we don't have that vision of that, we don't have that microscopic vision that facilitates penetrating the layers of delusion. So, at least intellectually we can understand using this kind of thought process, you know, going through electrons, protons, neutrons, and going through carbon, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen. What do you see? Electrons, protons, neutrons, going through that, quarks, you know. We are basically made up of quarks, like soup of quark that has coagulated and that has clung to something and created the form, really. You know? Just a bunch of quarks. And so now the scientists are saying, even subtler than quarks are the superstrings, the strings that are so incredibly small that they are more mathematical than real. But that's all there is ultimately, just a bundle of strings vibrating at a particular frequency. That's intellectual. Everything, whatever we talked about, is intellectual. But at least we start to break the thick and rigid layer of delusion that we are separate from each other. You know, like a coconut, the one you get on the beach, the green coconut thing that they chop off and then you can drink. The water, has anybody had that? Mm-hmm. Coconut water on the beach? That upper layer is so thick, so rigid, right? So our sensuality has created that thick layer of delusion of separateness, you know. So if we chop that off using the intellect, like this kind of thought process, you know, chopping off that thick layer first, then there is another layer underneath it, the coconut itself, which is softer than the green layer, right? But it is still a layer, it's still hiding the reality. We can remove that layer as well, that layer of delusion of separateness, by attacking it at the emotional level. How do we cultivate oneness and understand oneness at the emotional level? By consistently practicing loving kindness, compassion, and gladness, and generosity. That's why past few weeks we've been talking about these emotions, right? Loving kindness, the practice of seeing everybody worthy of our care and kindness. That's loving kindness, right? Looking at everybody and considering them as worthy of our care, love, and kindness. That practice is loving kindness. Compassion. Seeing the suffering in others, feeling the pain of others, being in their shoes, having a desire to alleviate that suffering, that's the practice of compassion, right? Gladness, deriving joy from others' successes and fortunes, appreciative joy. We talked about that a couple of weeks ago. Generosity, mental ability of reducing self-interest. So you see, the practice of these emotions slowly dissolves the sense of separateness, right? And increases a sense of oneness, because you are now considering not only your children and your near and dear ones as worthy of your love and kindness, but your neighbors and so on and so forth, everybody. Same with compassion. You not only feel the suffering of your own near and dear ones, but also others. And slowly all encompassing gladness. You just don't celebrate or don't feel happy only when you are successful, but also when others are successful, eradicating jealousy and envy. So all these emotional practices eventually give rise to a sense of oneness. That way we can understand what is oneness through these pragmatic, everyday practical way of cultivating oneness, you know.
All of these, loving kindness, gladness, are all at their very essence a form of love. So does that mean in your mind that unconditional love is a way to transcend duality?
Absolutely. Basically, these are the four elements, loving kindness, compassion, gladness, and oneness, are the four elements which constitute the phenomenon of love. And we'll talk about that. We are gearing up to it. February is coming, right? So we'll talk about what is Valentine's and what truly love is, you know. But you're absolutely right. But what I would say is unconditional love is the emotional way of cultivating oneness. Emotional, practical way of abiding among other beings here and now and experiencing oneness.
Yeah, I think that deep, for those of you with children, you know, your children are going to have this deep emotional experience of love, and I think that's your first cutting through your sense of self, that you first have the information of being connected to other things.
Absolutely, yeah. But eventually, ultimately, we have to experience oneness in spirit. Spiritually, we have to know what oneness is. And so we have to learn those meditative practices, which we took a virtual tour of today. Intellectually, we can try to cultivate oneness. Emotionally, through the practice of love. But spiritually also.